much. Again, Corey, thank you so much for that honor. My wife and I are humbled by it and so grateful. I'm reading from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 20, verse 25 and 28. And Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. But not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." We've been doing a series titled Kingdom Disciples, and what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And last week we started talking about that to be a disciple means that we must serve like Jesus. That is so radical in the culture, in the world we're living in today. We're probably living in one of the most narcissistic times in American history, where people are lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure. All we call a me generation. All we got to do, we're defined by our selfies, and it's all about me. You know, recently, this past weekend, I met a young man, and I was just asking him about his career and the area he served in and so forth. And, you know, and just in the conversation, he went on to say, I asked him about some of his employees and what he said. He went on to say, "Well, listen, I'm not concerned about all of that." He said, "All I'm concerned about is getting my paycheck and nobody getting my way and getting my next promotion." And I thought, he care less about what's happening in his company and his organization. He can care less about the employees next to him. He just said, "I got to get mine and make sure nobody's standing in the way of getting mine." But Jesus said, among us as his followers, is not going to be that way. He calls us to be radically different. He calls us, as we started out last week, that we'd adopt his attitude. Philippians said this way, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus. What was that attitude? I like the way the Message Bible says. He said, don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourself the way Jesus thought of himself. You know, that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that we empty ourselves. Jesus said, listen, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. I want to say to all of you who still trying to do you, who still trying to think life is all about me getting mine, doing mine, making mine, I want you to know if you do it that way, you're going to lose your life. Jesus spoke to people. Listen to what he said in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 8:35. If you try to hang on to your selfish way of living, you're going to lose it. So many people are losing themselves trying to find themselves. But Jesus said, if you will lose your life for me, I like it. Listen, but if you will give up your life for my sake and the sake of the good news, you will save it. I want you to know the happiest people in all the world are the people who discovered that when we give our lives for Jesus, that's when the joy comes. That's where the peace comes. That's where the fulfillment comes. Life is not found in getting. It is found in giving. Life is not found in looking how many can serve you, but how many you can serve. And if you want a life of significance, if you want a life of fulfillment, most important, if you want to follow Jesus, then you and I have to have an attitude to serve. Jesus said, listen, he told us, he said, if you want to be blessed, I want you to know, how many of you want to be blessed? Raise your hand. Come on, if you really want to be blessed, raise both hands. Listen to what Jesus said. If you really want to be blessed, listen to what he said in John's Gospel. One of the last recorded actions of Jesus, before he went to the cross, what did he do? He stooped down. He took on the form of a slave. It was slaves in Jesus' day. The people that the least person you're like, the least likely person, that's the person who washed feet. And Jesus, the king and master of the universe, the creator of everything, the savior of the world, took off his garment and put on, took off his robe and put on a towel, and he stooped down and began to wash his disciples' feet. And listen to what he said. He said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I say again, if you want to be blessed, then you got to follow Jesus' example. The key to living the blessed life is serving others like Jesus. I want you, it will change everything about you. It'll give you purpose. It'll give you meaning. Point number two, and this is what I want to finish, point two and three. Last week I left off, and here I'm, if we're going to serve like Jesus, we got to realize we have been created and gifted to serve. I'm going to say it again. You have been created and gifted to serve. Do you realize that before you were born, when you were still not even thought of, God created you? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, realize that of the 7.5 billion people in the earth today, almost 8 billion people, God created you unique. He gave you special gifts, talents, abilities. Nobody can do you like you. Nobody can be the person, because nobody can take your place. That's why when you don't do what God's called you to do, nobody else is going to be able to do it, because God created you unique. You have a special gift and a purpose. And we were created to good works. We were created as Christ's workmanship. In other words, God looked up all his creation. He created the animals, he created the flowers, he created the field. But when he got to you, he said, of all my creation, you're my finest work. You're my greatest workmanship. He said, I designed you like no one else. Listen, that's a reason to shout right there. There's nothing like, of all the creation, God looked at the stars. Listen, this is what David said. He said, when I consider the stars and the moon and all the works of your hand, God, what is man that you desire him? Do you realize, of all his creation, there's none like you? Somebody give God a shout. There's nobody like you. Oh, I want you to know, there's nothing. You are the choices of all his creation. And he created you with purpose. Daniel Webster, one of our nation's founding fathers, brilliant lawyer, served in the Congress. He was asked the question, what is his most serious thought that ever entered his mind? And Daniel Webster replied, my accountability to God. He recognized, according to Romans 14:12, so then every one of you will give an account of himself to God. That is not only Daniel Webster's most profound thought, that is also my most profound, and not only most profound, the thing that keeps me serving, keep me working, keep me on my knees, keep me praying, because I know that a soon day I will breathe my last, and that will be the end of my brief life here on earth. And God is going to say, Neil, what did you do with the gifts, the talents, the abilities that I've given you? I wrote in my journal this week, I didn't realize, you know, I was meditating. God has blown our mind. He really had, you know, he does so much beyond what we could have even ever thought. Ann and I, sometimes we pinch ourselves. She said, Neil, did you ever think that we'd be where we are today? And we both shake our heads. First of all, we never even dreamed that today we would still be together. That's a miracle of the grace of God. Somebody say amen. I was talking with someone at the wedding last night about one of my relatives, and we were commenting on their lack there, their dysfunctions. And so I said, well, you know, but for the grace of God, that would have been me. And we begin to reflect, and this is what I wrote in my journal this past week. I said, Father, I'll be 60 years old this year, and I'm closer to the grave than I ever been. I recognize I've done more funerals, but I say this, God, you've given me so much by way of resources, influence, relationships, gifts, and talents. My one prayer is, God, what would you have me to do in this season of my life? You see, I don't want to come to the end of my life and say, Neil, there was so much more I wanted to do, but you settled for less. Accomplish, but you chose not to believe me, for you chose to settle, you chose to rest on your laurels. And that's the tragedy. Listen, I was reading this, someone once said, it's not dying that people afraid, it's coming to the end and realize that they never lived. I'm going to say it again. It's not dying that frightens people, but it's coming to the end of your life realizing, did I really live? Did I really accomplish what I was created to do? Did I fulfill the purpose of why he made me? That's the thing that should grip us, God, because listen, life is short, it's brief. I want you to know, every day, listen, that clock is ticking. We're closer to the grave than we ever. I realize, listen, time is flying by. 1 Peter says it this way, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have a gift of speaking? Speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have a gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory through Jesus Christ. All glory and honor and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Come on, let's just thank God. But listen to me. I want to speak to some of you this morning because listen to me. I was reminded again of the story of Osceola McCarthy. Here's a lady. She was conceived by rape in the backwoods of Mississippi. She wasn't the most attractive. She never married, never had children. She spent her whole life washing and ironing other people's clothes. For those of you that don't recall her story, if you Google it, you'll see that she awarded the University of Southern Mississippi all that she had over the years. She had saved up over $150,000 by washing and ironing clothes, often making a dollar per load. But listen to what she said. Put it back up there. I can't do everything, but I can do something to help somebody. And what I can do, I will do. I wish I could do more. Come on, read that again. Come on, let's read. Here's somebody, listen. It's not, you see, God is not going to ask you how much you had, or whether you had five talents or two talents or one talent. Here's somebody who said, listen to what she said, I can't do everything, but I can do something to help somebody. And what I can do, I will do. And I wish I could do more. Let's thank God for that. Those are the people that are the heroes of faith. She has since gone home to be with the Lord. But I want you to know that I marvel at a person, a sixth grade dropout who never married, made a living through washing and ironing clothes, but her life made a difference because you know what? She said, I can't do everything, but I can do something. And what I can, I will do. I wish all of us had that attitude that we would say, God, I want my life to count. I want to do something. Listen to me. Do with all your strength and energy that God supplies. When we use our gifts to serve and help other people, people see Jesus and glorify him. Jesus said, let your light so shine that people will see your good works and glorify him. You and I will one day give an account for what we've done. In a church this size, what sometimes disappoints me the most is that for far too many people are just content just coming to church rather than being the church. Far too many people are content with just hearing a sermon rather than being. It's who we are. And I want you to know, we've been learning church is not where we go. It's who we are. It's not what we say. It's what we do. And if you want your life to count, then you're going to have to follow Jesus' example. You were created. You were gifted. Let me just say that you can take all the spiritual gift classes in the world, and we have one called Discovering Your Shape. Every one of you unique. Every one of you have a gift. But I've learned that people don't discover their gifts in the classroom. You discover it by doing something. I want you, when you begin to serve, then you'll be begin to discover what you were created for. I want you to know, that's why the Bible said, whatever your hands find to do, do with all your might, doing it as for the Lord. I want you to know, you might not be able to do everything, but do something. Can I have an amen? Somebody, you know, that's what makes a difference when you determine, God, I might can't do anything, everything, but I can do something. Last point as I prepare to close, listen. If you and I are going to serve like Jesus, I say we got to take on the attitude or the mind of Jesus. Secondly, we got to realize that we were created and gifted to serve. You will never, ever, ever be happy, never be fulfilled until you begin to use the gifts and the talents God created you to serve others. Lastly, if you're going to serve like Jesus, you got to commit to being faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 2. Moreover, it is required of stewards or servants that a man be found faithful. Say faithful. You've heard me say, God can make a faithful man able, but he cannot make an able man faithful. Faithfulness is what we give to God. Ability is what God gives to us. You can have all the ability in the world, but unless you commit to be faithful, it'll accomplish nothing. Miles Monroe said years ago, the richest place in all the world is the graveyard, because their lives, gifts, talents, songs, abilities, that were never used because they never committed to be faithful. I want you to know that God is looking for faithfulness. People who will put their hands to the plow and say, God, I will do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I will do. I might not be the best nursery worker, but God, because it's a need, I'm going to serve. I might not be the best usher. I might not be the best greeter. I might not be the best musician or media person or whatever, the maintenance person. I might not be the best person, whatever. But you see, I can't do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I will do. God looks for faithfulness. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 45 and 46. Who then is that faithful? Say faithful. Notice he didn't say, who then is that able? They got a whole lot of people with ability. But what God looks for is faithfulness. Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of his servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant. Listen, it will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Jesus is coming back. I'll say Jesus is coming back. Come on, come on. I'm going to say that. I'll say Jesus is coming back. And when he comes, he wants to find us faithful at serving. He wants to find. So many people are looking up when you should be looking at what you can do, because I want you to know he's coming. You don't have to worry, but he's coming. But I want you to know, will you be found faithful? Will you be doing what God called you to do? Will you be using your gifts? Will you be using your talent? When he comes, will he find you faithful? He says, blessed is that person who, when his master comes, listen, it will be good for that servant whose master finds him so doing when he returns. To be able to recognize, I don't know about you, but I when he comes, I want him to be able to recognize me. I want him to be able to say, I find he's still working. He still has his hands to the plow. He's still serving. He's still loving. Listen. Anyone, this is what Jesus said in John 12:26. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. If you want to experience Jesus, then you got to be where Jesus is at. And Jesus is always serving. So many people, listen, you can come and hear 1,000 sermons, but you'll never experience Jesus like when you begin to put your hands to the plow and begin to serve. Can I have an amen? Jesus said, for where I am, there my servant will be. And the Father will honor. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Did you hear that? The Father will honor anyone who serves me. It doesn't matter. In the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as a little service. He says, even if you give a cup of cold water to a servant of mine in my name, you will be rewarded. Luke 16:10 says, whoever then is faithful in the least will be faithful in much. And whoever is unjust in the least is unjust in much. If you therefore have not been faithful in unrighteous money, that just knocks some people out right now. Who will commit to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you your own? I did 2 funerals this week, got another funeral this Saturday. I've been had 2 funerals last week, two weeks ago. Every time I do a funeral, I remind him that there's coming a close day, that I'll be there and I'll be laying in the casket. Y'all be walking by, oh, we miss our path. Some say, oh, that's so morbid. No, I have a real acceptance of my mortality. I realize that I'm going to die, and you're going to die. I do enough funerals, and listen to me, one thing I notice about every funeral, I never see a U-Haul. And if they put their jewelry on there, somebody's going to take it off in the funeral home. So don't put your expensive jewelry on. The reality is this. Jesus says that when you're faithful in the little, you'll be trusted with more. This morning, as I close, I want to invite you all to serve like Jesus. To find a need and have all, and find a hurt and heal it. We have all kinds of areas where you can get involved in serving. I believe that service should not end in the local church, but it should certainly extend to the local church. I believe that, listen, we have people who serve as ushers, greeters, sound booth, media team, worship team, children's ministry, youth ministry, young adult ministry, young couples ministry, Sunday school, food bank ministry, hospitality, small group, discipleship ministry, financial and accounting ministry, birthday team ministry, parking lot ministry. Anybody was out in the parking lot greeting you this morning? We need a whole new group. That's an eternal joke. Security team, men's ministry, women's ministry, prayer ministry, altar ministry, facilities, maintenance, senior adults, decoration, hospital ministry. And if we don't have a ministry that you're interested, create one. What I'm letting you know is that you're created to serve, and you will never be, ever be fulfilled outside of being faithful. Some start and they quit along the way. I want to challenge every one of you that listen, that you will make a commitment, because knowing that one day you're going to give an account to Jesus, that you'll say, Lord, I'm going to use the gifts and talents you've given me to serve and make a difference. God is not unjust, and he will not forget your work and love you have shown him, and you have helped his people. As you have helped people and continue to help them. I just want to take this. I didn't plan this, but I know there's some people who've been with us from the very beginning and have served tirelessly in ways. And I don't know how they say give people their roses while they're living. I like my mother. She's going to be 84. I like Miss Rose Simon. She's going to be 84. I don't know how much more years they got, but I'm on today. They've been serving from day one for the last 25 years. Come on, just stand. Listen to them. They're 84 years. Come on. Don't patty cake. Listen to me. Now listen. For 25 years, 25 years, from day one, they never, ever stopped serving. Come on, no, let's give them up. 25 years. Others have started and stopped, but for 25 years, they never stopped. They still, isn't that amazing? 84 years old, and they're both going to be 84 in the next few months, and you can't keep them from not serving, whether it's prayer, whether it's the food bank ministry, whether it's accounting ministry, wherever. Come on, let's give God. Listen to me. I want to acknowledge, there's people like Miss Sonia. Miss Sonia joined the church after Hurricane Katrina, and they're here every Sunday praying. Josephine has been here since the beginning, served. Come on, let's just thank God for it. Let's just pray. Listen to me. Miss Althea, look, I can go on. We have so many of you that serve. There are people, Karina is in the back today serving in children's ministry, has been with us for almost 22 plus years. Let's just thank God. You're getting in trouble, because let me just tell you how the devil gonna work, because they're gonna say, well, you didn't call my name. But there are people who have been serving for years. Those of you that's been with us for at least 20 years, just stand on your feet. I just want you to just stand right there. Those of you have been with us at least 20 years, come on, just stand on your feet. Just stand. You've been with us at least 20 years. Come on, listen to me. I want to acknowledge, don't sit down. I want to acknowledge, that's Donlin, Sheila Coxey, that's Morris and Cora Wise, that's Renata, Wendell, that's Miss Rose. The bright light blinded me. Who's that in there? Willie and Celeste, Miss Julie and Clarence, Brother Edmund Glenn, Brother Antonio. Look at Brother. Come on, give Brother. Come on, let's say. Brother Antonio, Justin, Chris, and Sandy. My kids had a choice, so they don't get, y'all can sit down. I'm just sitting down. Amber, Kristen, Justin, Elena, Dave, sir. Listen, Daphne, Antoinette, Joe, and Cheryl. Come on, let's pray. That's my girl. And Zena, Geraldine. Come on, give. That's my girl. Come on, give it. Fire. Lil Rodney, come on, let's thank God. Jose and Kareem, don't panic. Come on, let's thank God for faithful. Let's thank God for faithful people. Come on. Who's Chris? Who are? Yvette. Who? Auntie Pat. Where they at? They didn't stand up. She's too shy. Pat, stand up. Pat, stand up so people can. Nat and Pat, come on. That's my sister-in-law, y'all. Come on. That's my sister-in-law. They have to serve. That's But listen to me. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart as I close this service, I'm eternally indebted to the men and women. Some of you hadn't been here for 20 years, but you've been here for 10 years. Some of you, from the day you've got here, you served, and you've served tirelessly. I do not thank you enough. I do not recognize you enough. Miss Brunetta, from the time she got here, she's been leading Sunday school. Come on, let's just thank God for her. Miss Brunetta, how old are you? 81. Now, y'all young people, listen to me. Y'all notice I call these 81, 83, 85. No, 85. Here's what I'm saying. Listen to me. There's going to become a soon day that many of this previous generation, they're going to pass a baton. It's going to be up to some of you to take up the baton and say, I can't do everything. But I can do something. And what I can do, I will do. As I close this morning, listen, the beginning of being a servant starts with giving your heart to Jesus. I was the most selfish, self-centered person before I gave my life to Jesus. Like all of you, the epitome of sin is selfishness. I was selfish and self-centered. But when I gave my life to Jesus, He changed me. And I wanted to be a servant. And we used to sing a song when I was first saved. Make me one too. Lord, I'm willing. Do what you must do. But make me a servant. Make me like you. As I pray close today, I want to give several calls. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to commit to serving. You'll never be fulfilled. Let me just tell you. You know, I appreciate when I get a call and say, Pastor, I work shift work. I could only be here 2 Sundays a month. But when I can I serve when I can? Of course you can. I don't care how much if it's 1 hour, everybody can serve. Everybody can do part. Listen to me. Those that say my life busy, everybody's busy. We live in a busy world. Everybody's life busy. Don't give me that excuse. I can't do it. Well, I got all this going. Listen to me. Everybody got stuff going on. Everybody can do something. Everybody can do their part. And as I close this morning, I want to challenge you to be a servant like Jesus. That you will say, Lord, I have this one life. And Jesus, you said, if you want to be your follower, then we have to be a servant. Stop making excuses why you can't. Stop making excuses why you're too busy. Stop making excuses why I don't have this skill or that. If Miss Osceola McCarty can serve, then you can. 6th grade education, ever married. But she made a difference in her world because she said, I can't do everything, but I can do something. Everybody can do something. Everybody. And what leaves a legacy is faithfulness. If you're saying today that you want to find your part, you want to do your part to serve, then I want to pray for you. If that's you, just stand on your feet. I want to close by praying for you. Say, Lord, I want to do my part. I want to serve. Come on, if that's you, just stand on your feet. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Today you're saying, God, I'm going to surrender my gifts, my talents, my abilities, whatever that is. There's always opportunity. Listen to me. There's always ministry for you because nobody can take your place because nobody can do you like you. Whatever that means, everybody can do something. I want to say again, thank you for those of you that serve, for those of you that are involved, those of you that have put your hands to the plow. I want to say again, thank you, thank you, thank you. I could never, ever thank you enough. And I just want to say thank you. You serve, you give, you love, you share. And I could never, ever thank you enough. But this morning, on this, when we talk about serve like Jesus, I want to just say thank you for doing your part. I want to challenge you today. If you want to be involved, send us a text, send us an email, call the church, sign up and say, listen, I read over some of you just joined a church and I saw that you served in other ways. Find a way of serving. Listen, there's always something. If we're not doing it, we're going to create it. But that's, everybody can get involved and everybody can serve, because what turns the world around is people who are serving like Jesus. Like Martin Luther King says, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subjects and your verbs and a heart of love. If you will do that, you will be great because everybody can serve. Let me pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for those that are watching. I thank you for everyone who's standing. God, this is what our world is in, a world full of selfishness and self-centeredness, where it's all about me and what I can get and how I can do mine and my next promotion and my next raise and my next, and I don't want nobody standing in my way. God, thank you that you've called us to be counter-culture, to live completely different. God, thank you that you've called us, Lord, to be servants. You called us, Lord God, to be great. And we find greatness in serving. Father, I pray that we'll find a need and meet it. And we'll find, Lord God, a hurt and heal it. I pray that, God, that we'll look at what you've given to us. And God, we'll again say, Lord God, use me. If you can use anything, use me. Father, I pray right now. Our world is hurting. Our world is broken. And you looked on the brokenness and the hurting of people. And you said, pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers. Because the harvest is plentiful. But it's the workers that are few. God, I pray that it will not be said of New Wine that the workers were few. I pray that we'll look over our gifts and our abilities, and God, we'll commit to using our gifts and our talents and our abilities to serve and make a difference. For those of you that today, it starts with a relationship with Jesus. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you want to be a servant like him, it starts with saying, Jesus, take my life. Be the Lord of my life. Today, if you're here, all you have to do is just say that simple prayer. Lord, come, save me, forgive me my sin, and be the Lord and the master of my life. If you'll pray that, I want you to know God will take you at your word, and your life will never be the same. In Jesus' name.